gave it all to you. No greater love than this.
Yes, yes.
Then you would lay down your life for someone such as me. I'd spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know.
This is the place to be, right here, at this time, at such a time. Praise God. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen.
Amen.
There's peace in the house, joy in the house,
yes.
Healing in the house,
yes.
Salvation in the house,
yes.
Prosperity in the house,
yes.
Peace of mind in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want's in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hey, Brother Bonnie. Amen. Before you start, I'm not trying to take away from your time or anything, but can I say something right here? What we just read right here? It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. For you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." You know why he chose us? We are chosen to be saved because it's God's will for us to be saved. It's the will for all men to be saved. We are a chosen, man, just meditate on what that means right there. I mean, you know, that's just unreal powerful. We were chosen to be saved.
All
we gotta do is accept it.
All humans were chosen to be saved.
Every man around the world.
But they're not all saved, are they?
Ain't that something?
But they're not all saved.
Well, it's a chosen thing. You gotta choose.
But you left out one great, big, huge, humongous word. Well, you didn't leave it out, but I want to call attention to it. That great, big, huge word. That great, big, huge, two-letter word. If.
Yeah.
If.
Mm-hmm. You're my friends. If.
Yeah. Yeah.
You keep my commandments.
Because right. You have to choose to do it.
That's right.
You have to choose to do it. You have to choose to accept that you were chosen.
Everybody that's in hell today
chose to go.
Is there despite the love of God.
Wow.
They're there despite the love of God. Does God not love the people in hell? Yes. Are they in hell? Yes. Are they going to get out? No. Jeez. It's not the love of God
exactly
that keeps you out of hell.
Exactly.
It's your love for him that keeps you out of hell.
Yes.
My granddaughter will tell you, if you don't love Jesus, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, it don't get any simpler than that.
No, sure don't.
If you don't love Jesus, you're going to hell.
You know, that's true, Bro Horton. And Jesus is so wanting you to go to heaven.
Yes.
When you open up your heart,
he'll
deposit that love down in you.
That's true.
To love you.
That is true. That's true.
He wanted you to go so much to heaven that he died.
That is true. That's true.
But you know, hell actually shows the love of God.
It does in a sense, but you'd have a hard time proving that to the people that are in there.
I understand.
I know. You're right. That is true. You're absolutely right.
Because it gives you that choice, because we're not puppets on the show.
You know, this is a great class right here. Yeah, I love what Sister Wilson brought up about faith and works, or grace and works, faith and works. But they're two, faith and works are two wings on the same bird. You got to get them both flapping at the same time to get off the ground. You got to get them both flapping, faith and works, to get off the ground.
And when something does work, you don't make a doctrine out of it and start a denomination.
Well,
say, this is the only way this is going to happen. Because the Lord may spit in people's eyes to heal them, or made clay, spitting on the ground made clay. He did it all kinds of different ways.
All right, let's get to the book of Acts. All right, here we go. Book of Acts.
But that's true.
Chapter 24. Let's see, I think we left off.
Yep.
Chapter 24, we were talking about, let's see, we were talking about, I think we were in chapter, verse 15, where Paul is making a defense. And several chapters are devoted to this incident that began with Paul going to the temple. Paul going to the temple. After God said, don't go, don't go, don't go, Paul goes to the temple. God said, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul goes to Jerusalem. Then he goes to the temple. And he gets arrested. He's, as far as we can tell, he was never a free man again. So, the rest of the book of Acts basically revolves around that one thing that he did when he went to Jerusalem. Like from chapter 21 to 20 through 28, that's the biggest part of the book of Acts. I mean, it's all devoted to everything that fell out after Paul went to the temple. And Paul's defense, which we see here various times, we're going to see it over and over, but there's a lot of truth in here that we're going to try to glean out of this. But it is truly remarkable that much time is spent here in the book of Acts talking about Paul's defense and what happened to him after he went to Jerusalem. The whole book of Acts changes. I mean, right there, the book of Acts changes. Mm-hmm. From the time Paul goes to the temple and is arrested, then the book of Acts changes. And it's almost like part one and part two. But the whole flavor of the book changes at that point. So that's just something to keep in mind. Let's start here in verse 15. And this is part of his defense here before Felix, who was one of their governors. He says, I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men.
Well, that's a powerful statement, what he just said.
That's
right
power.
There. He's going out of his way to make sure that happens.
Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple. Well, there you go, brother Ray. That's legalism again, right? He was purified in the temple according to the law, which was what Paul told us was not necessary. He taught that. It was not necessary. There's works again. What's up with that? We've talked about that before. I don't know. I don't know what Paul, I don't know what in the world. I don't know how Paul would answer that. But anyhow, Paul did, you know. But, you know, we talked about this before, but Peter and James and the elders, the other apostles, told him to do it. And he did it. He was being obedient. He was obedient to the other apostles. And they told him to do it. Of course, the others didn't really have the light on this. Peter and James did not seem to have the light that Paul had on what was necessary to be saved. And seemed like, you know, at that council that they had in Jerusalem where they said, you know, we're not going to lay upon the Gentiles anything other than these necessary things. And they named it three or four of them, keep yourselves from fornication, from blood, and so on. They did not seem to understand that there's only one rule for Jew and Gentile. That if the Gentiles don't have to do this stuff, then the Jews don't have to do this stuff.
That's right.
They couldn't seem to figure that out. They couldn't grasp that. If it's good enough for the Gentiles now, then it's good enough for the Jews. Mm-hmm. Paul did understand that. But anyhow, so Paul was purified in the temple, and that brings that up again.
Well, see, the Lord works again. Trying to show Peter in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius. You
know, I know, that's right, exactly.
Because, see, it was against the law for him to even
That's forward. Right. I mean, you know, if Peter had just meditated on that vision and thought about it, the logic And the force of that vision would have led him to conclude, just like Paul did, that the Gentile, that nobody, we're now all in the same, we're all the same.
Well, God never gave that commandment anyway. That was a doctrine that was brought over from Babylon.
Now,
yeah, more likely, because God never gave that commandment.
Well,
not to be unlawful for them to go talk to a Gentile.
Well, that part, but the whole part about the temple and all the sacrifices and all that stuff, salvation was of the Jews, and so on and so forth, and all of that. So we're not going to go into that. But
yeah, it was a law that he honored, and God honored.
That's right. Exactly right.
Because he had to tell Peter, he had to rebuke Peter, don't say nothing.
What I have cleansed.
Yeah.
What I have cleansed. Uh-huh. That is true. That is absolutely right. Because Jesus didn't lie when he told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. Of the Jews. You don't know what you worship. We do because we're Jews. Salvation's of the Jews. But now, you know, the time was coming when
it was now,
that's
he was
right.
In there. He said,
that's
the
right.
Coming,
that's right.
And he is now.
And he is now. That is correct.
I'm so sitting here. He
that's right.
Himself.
Exactly.
You know.
So here we are. Paul has said, you know, this is strange. This is a strange statement. Paul said, I was purified in the temple, No, you weren't. You were purified before you went into the temple. You were purified by the love of God and by the grace of Christ. You weren't purified in the temple any more than you were before you went into the temple. I mean, for goodness sake, Paul. What, you know, this, and here again, look, this is not Luke saying this. This is not the author saying this. This is Paul saying this, and he's not writing this book. So Luke didn't say, yeah, you're right, Paul, you were purified in the temple. Paul said, I was purified in the temple. Actually, if Paul was writing the letter and the Spirit of God was upon him, he wouldn't have said that. That's right.
I guess he was saying, now me and you see that I'm...
Yeah.
I sort of understand.
I understand what he was talking about.
I'm one of y'all.
He had a difficult time proving this. That's right. He was
like, we remember how you killed us and how you did, you know, you got a background with us, you know, but... He said, I wronged no man. I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm a new creature. Yeah. I wronged no man.
So he was speaking to them as Jews, and he said, when I was among the Jews, I became as a Jew, and so on. So yeah, that you know, for that purpose, it's true enough. Did you have your hand up?
He found them. It was after.
He said, I was purified in the temple. They found me purified in the temple.
They found him already.
They found
purified.
Me purified. That's right.
Me already purified. I was pure because of Jesus.
No, he was purified because. Let's go back to chapter 20.
It says having been purified without any crowd or uproar too.
And see here it says. Let's go back to Acts chapter 21. And verse 26, chapter 21:26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. See, this was a purification offering of some sort.
Long ago we read that.
Yeah, we did read that, and that's what we had a. But this is. But you know, it's good.
So he's giving a sacrifice, right?
Yeah. They were offering animal sacrifices or some sort of weird thing
that's an abomination?
No.
Because he's already been purified by Christ.
It wasn't an abomination for him because I believe he was trying with all my heart. I believe Paul was trying to.
This is exactly what Ray asked us about several weeks ago, and we talked about this. And this is a real problem. This is a real problem, and I can't explain why Paul would go through with this, because he knew better now. He knew better. But the only thing we can say is that he said, you know, among the Jews, I became all things to all men. Among the Jews, I became like a Jew, like as though I was under the law, that I might not offend the Jews. Well, you know, also, you don't win the Jews by trying to be just like them either. So I don't know, but anyhow,
That's a good one.
You don't win people by imitating them. That is not the way to win people. But so, you know, Paul was a good soul winner. And you know, you're right. You're right. He was sent to the Gentile. You're right, Sister Mary. That was his ministry to the Gentile.
I know.
I'll tell you what. You know, when we get to heaven, we're gonna have to sit down and we're gonna have to ask Paul. Paul explained to me what in the world was going on.
This is first God group. All of us going to gather around.
That's right.
Paul,
can you imagine the line, how long it's going to be? Because everybody's going to be gathered. Why'd you write this down? Don't make no sense.
Okay.
We are told not to be a stumbling block.
That's right. That is true. That is what I think that would be his answer, you know. That's true. And the Jews were so steeped in this that they just couldn't wrap their minds around. I mean, you talk about prejudice. I mean, you talk about hardcore prejudice now. They really believed that they were, they were better than anybody in the world. They believed they were, and it was because of their law and so on and so forth. For thousands of years, they'd had this, thought. So it was hard to crack into that. It was tough. But again, still, it's still problematic anyhow. It's still problematic. It still bothers me that this happened. It still bothers me. Bothers me that they did this. Yes, sister.
Can I read something? In this International Standard Version Bible here, it says here, I have the same hope in God that they themselves cherish, that there is to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, I always do my best to have a clear conscience before God and people. After many years, I have come back to my people to bring gifts for the poor and to offer sacrifices. They found me in the temple doing these things, just as I had completed the purification ceremony. No crowd or noisy mob was present, but some Jews from Asia were there, and they should be here before you to accuse me if they have anything against me. Otherwise, these men themselves should tell what wrong they found when I stood before the council. Unless it is for one thing I shouted as I stood among them, it is for the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today.
Right. Well, that says the same thing that this one says, that he actually offered sacrifices. Apparently he offered sacrifices.
Brother, yeah. You can put it, Liz, I think it was a child back in the church. How many people get the Ten Commandments all involved with today's testimony? And the Ten Commandments we keep, but it's not part of our heritage. It's our heritage, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, they washed their car on Sunday. Monday, isn't it? I mean, if you do it backwards.
Exactly.
I can remember as a child having... Have you, everybody been in the church before that the Ten Commandments is something you keep all the time?
Yeah.
And Jesus fulfilled it, didn't he?
Well, I follow the Ten Commandments. Jesus' commandment, though, man, was to love one another as I have loved you.
And then you can fulfill all of it. But we can't keep the Ten Commandments.
You can't keep the Ten Commandments?
The law.
The Ten Commandments?
We can keep some of them, but if you offend one, you've lost them all. Does that what the word says?
Covet.
If you don't do them all.
Covet be the hardest one, I believe.
That is a hard one.
Yeah. we can do it because Jesus did it, but I'm saying.
Jesus did it, and he lives in us. This is what grace is for.
Paul did it too.
This is what grace is for, is to enable us.
Yes.
Enable us without being a new creature. Old creatures don't have a chance. They ain't got a chance. They ain't got a hope of keeping this. But new creatures have got a good chance. New creatures can do it.
Yep.
New creatures. That's right. With a renewed mind.
Yeah, the flesh it won't get
that's right.
Away. Renewed. Gotta come out.
That's right. With your renewed mind.
When you walk in love.
When you have the mind of Christ, you can keep the Ten Commandments now. If you have the mind of Christ, did Christ keep the Ten Commandments? Yes. If you have the mind of Christ, you can keep the Ten Commandments.
But if you look to the law, it says you're fallen from grace. Does it not say that?
Here we go with grace. Here we go with grace and works again.
No.
But look, you're right.
Law
you see.
Gave us the knowledge of sin and death.
That's right, but that doesn't mean that we live like the devil just because we're forgiven, because we have grace. Grace is again. That goes back to that little two-letter word.
Yeah.
You're my friends if.
Yeah.
That's a big word. That's a real big word.
Love one another. As I have loved you.
If.
As I have loved you. So how did Christ love them? Okay. He died for them. That's how much he loved them.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Well, baby.
If you love me, you'll do what I tell you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I didn't say that.
That's true. Now, so, look.
Into the works.
And here's something else. Jesus did not give instructions. Jesus didn't give us instructions. Jesus gave us commandments. Jesus gave us commandments. What Jesus told us to do is not optional. It ain't optional. This is a, you do this. If you love me, you do this. If you don't do this, you don't love me. He didn't say, oh, it'd be good if you could do this, but if you don't worry about it. He didn't say no such thing. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He didn't give us instructions. He gave us commandments. He commanded us.
Y'all saying the same thing and don't really realize what you're saying. She said, if you sin, I mean, if not if you sin, but if you miss the mark, if you miss it, he'll love you enough that you can repent and get back up.
I know. I think I understand what she's saying. This is what the whole question about right now is grace and faith and all this stuff.
Let me just say a couple things here. One thing is that, I think two points. Jesus did teach people to keep the Mosaic law.
That's what I'm talking about.
He taught them mm-hmm. to look beyond the Mosaic law. He says, look at the spirit behind the law. Look at God's ways, okay? So you have not learned my ways, mm-hmm. the Lord said. So he says, look, you know, if you keep two commandments. All the law and the prophets are summed up in just two commandments.
Yeah, but really,
love God and love your neighbor.
He made it a little more difficult.
Yeah. Exactly.
He really made it a little more difficult.
It makes it difficult when you go beyond the letter of the law.
That's right.
And you say, okay, I want you to keep
that is true.
The intent of the law.
That is true.
The intent of the law. That's what I really want. It's not so much that you tie dill and cumin.
The all of the outward stuff.
What's behind? What did God want? What does God want to do inside you?
Yeah.
By you know, pleasing Him. All right. So that's one thing. The other thing is, there are a lot of things that we, you know, when you start getting legalistic, all right, you really get yourself in a bind. Okay. If you start saying, well, I keep the Ten Commandments, no, you don't. Sunday's not the Sabbath. Okay.
Well,
the other thing is, there are four laws. All right, that the church gave us, the church elders gave us, that we're supposed to do. Don't fornicate, right?
Yeah.
Don't eat strangled, don't drink blood, don't eat food offered to idols.
Yeah.
Three of those nobody keeps.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where your meat comes from. You don't know how it was killed.
And who's blessing it.
And, you know, and all that kind of, you don't know what happened to that meat before it got to the Walmart shelf or whatever, you know. Yeah. So there's three of them. We just ignore it totally.
That's what
we
take.
I won't say that fourth one is ignored totally, but we certainly do have a problem with it, don't we?
But that's the reason we take it out of the kingdom of darkness when we bless it. Yeah. I'm out right. Of this. Oh, yeah. I know that food.
Well,
so
Paul
we
said, Paul said, if you know that it's been offered to an idol, then you don't eat it.
Right.
We don't know that, but Paul said, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Just eat it. Don't ask questions. But if you know, if somebody tells you that this has been offered to an idol, you don't eat it.
Well, see, there's
you don't eat it.
I get tripped. Yeah. Paul was there at that council, right?
In the
he agreed to those four?
Yeah, he did.
If you agree to those four, you better make sure everything's kosher you eat. Right? Is none of this, oh, I didn't know it, right? The Jews don't go with sinners.
They didn't, actually say that at that council. That's, they didn't say that at the
right?
council.
You better make sure it's kosher.
What sin sends you to hell?
Now, let me tell you this. Now, let me say this.
What's the one sin that sends you to hell?
Not having Christ in you, not being a new creature. Not being a new creature will send you to hell.
That's right.
That'll send you to hell.
What's your knees like?
That's the only thing that'll really send you to hell is not having Christ. But let's don't get into that, you know.
We won't get into that.
Let me say one more thing about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day. Never was meant to be a day. The Sabbath is a person. The Sabbath is Christ.
Yeah, Christ is our
Christ is the Sabbath.
Amen.
You're not saved by works. You're saved by ceasing from work.
Yeah.
You're saved by the Sabbath. You're saved by ceasing to do your own works. You're saved by the Sabbath. You're saved by not work. You're saved by not doing the works of the flesh. That's what you're saved by. You're not working because you don't kill somebody. Killing somebody is work. Okay? That's not killing somebody is not works. That's a rest. Give it a rest. Okay? Give it a rest. Give the devil a rest. I mean, you know, you're in Christ. You're dead. A dead person don't do no work.